Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb. Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Here come the Astros, number one every time. Go, go, Astros. Go, go, Astros.
He's bound to die. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We have the Dutch and Rich Radio Program, 617-779-0985. A couple things to get to tell you right off the bat. If you listen this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots battle the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday at Gillette. Also, very exciting news. We've been doing Cribs. We've done Nick. We've done Sarge.
Mm-hmm.
We've done The Bird. And today, a man by the name of Mock Jamelli.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
I've been looking forward to this for a while, and after listening to it, I can't wait for 7:40.
Okay. Does he see any merchandise?
Does he see?
Oh, no, because we didn't have it at the time. All right.
Oh, you mean like the hat that guy made? Oh, no.
I didn't want to spoil anything.
No. Somebody sent us a hat that said Mock Jamelli 2020, like he was running for president. he does know that people apparently are coming up to him and saying, I heard you on the radio. And
oh, boy.
And I think that he loves it. I don't think Nick's the biggest fan of it.
No, because Nick, because people like his dad more than they like Nick.
That's true. Like I think I've told the story, but he apparently was at the doctor's getting a checkup for his heart that nearly exploded.
Yeah, so to make sure he wasn't going to die that week.
Right. So he went in, and the woman who's working there said, "Excuse me, are you on the Touch and Rich show?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, I love your dad."
All the meatballs were gone.
And he's like, "Well, thanks. I've been in the radio industry for almost 10 years now, and now more people like my dad the more than I do."
Yeah. I mean, of course. Mm-hmm. His dad is a star. You cannot say the same thing about Mr. Nick Jamelli. He's a star.
You are a dick. You. Ha!
He's a star in the medical community for surviving his terrible infections.
Yes, he is.
I love meatballs.
But that's going to be exciting. Two times you can win Patriots tickets, and then a good chunk of the show dedicated to Mock Jamelli in mm-hmm. his Cribs. Danny Ainge, by the way, an afterthought, joining us at 9 o'clock.
Which is interesting because the day we talked to Danny Ainge, later on that evening, was when Kyrie Irving just kind of went off script and announced that he was going to be re-signed. So there's a decent amount of stuff to talk to him about, because not only do we have that, but there's reports about Terry Rozier possibly working on an extension. I know why the Celtics would want to do that. You want to get him on cheaper money. I don't know why Terry Rozier would want to do that.
No, you do your due diligence, but I can't see Terry Rozier agreeing to an extension.
No. As a matter of fact, it was kind of funny. I was walking over by Boston Common yesterday, and there's huge posters for Terry Rozier's new Pumas. And I'm thinking, I mean, where else is there a backup point guard, like a guy coming off the bench who has a like giant ad campaign all around a city? Like, this is kind of weird how big the Celtics have gotten and how much national attention Terry Rozier himself got just from that playoff run. I mean, you know, the whole nickname thing helped, and the shirts that were sold with Scary Terry on it. He's got his own giant Puma marketing campaign all over, and he's coming off the bench.
Well, listen. It should be difficult.
And speaking of that, coming off the bench for the Celtics, Marcus Smart came in yesterday to the studio around 4 o'clock to do some voiceovers for commercials. I think that he's going to be doing something for like Takeda Oncology or whatever.
Okay.
But when he came in yesterday, reports are that he showed up wearing a golden boxer's outfit, like full on boxer's robe. Marcus Smart showed up in.
Now, was he also wearing trunks?
I don't know. Was it Mike? Mike. Okay, so you were telling me about Marcus Smart coming in yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, can you describe what he was wearing?
Hold on. Say that again.
Can you describe what he was wearing?
Yeah, I guess he had like, it was almost like loungewear, and it was like a boxer's robe, and it was gold. That's what I was told by Roger, who does our commercials.
No, did he have silk like trunks on?
I don't think so, no. It was just like a long robe.
Okay, so he had a long robe and maybe like shiny pants or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Marcus Smart, obviously, completely with it.
Well, you kind of want him to. Doesn't that fit his personality, though? That he's a little bit off?
Loud? What gave it away? The frosted tips mohawk thing he's got working?
It's funny. Whenever you talk to him, he seems like really normal. And then you see what he does on the court, and you're like, all right, there's probably something a little bit loose. And then he shows up in like boxer garb. And you're like, all right, he's kind of marching to the beat of his own drummer. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it.
You want a guy to be a little bit off and strange when you're an agitator.
I have no problem with what he did. It's no, what's his face with that big-ass gold head of his on that?
Marquise Daniels.
Yeah, Marquise Daniels. He had a giant golden head that was made to look like his own head.
Now, is he still in the league?
I don't think
so. He can't be. No,
okay, no. So how long did he play in the league?
I'm going to check right now.
Because
talk amongst yourselves.
He does not have enough money to live for the rest of his life on.
Marquise Daniels had the tattoo of the guy with a shotgun in his mouth blowing his brains out.
Well, that's good. So he'll get another job. So,
pardon me. I would like to take out a loan with you, sir. Oh, that tattoo. Maybe right. I'll be going to a
Daniels
different
Daniels has been out since 2012, 2013.
I'm guessing he made like $3 million a year when he played here.
Top salary was close to $7
million. Oh, wow.
He made $2 million one year with the Celtics, and he was back $1.2 million. He made, according to Basketball Reference, about $37 million.
It always surprises me how much money these guys make. Wow. In the NBA, more than any other sport, it blows my mind how much some of these guys who are like the fourth person off the bench end up making.
I was going to say, I didn't think he had full ornament to myself in gold money, but it apparently does. He did.
Well, the best is that Evan Turner got the ET logo, like a giant medallion of the ET logo around his neck.
Of E.T.?
E.T. Like, you know, where it's got the two fingers. Yeah. And like the guy on the bike, you know, Elliot on the bike going past the moon, he got a giant thing of that around his neck.
Now, when is he going to wear that?
All the time. I mean, his name is Evan Turner, and they call him E.T., but he got a giant E.T. logo from the movie.
Yeah, but I just don't see that lasting. Like, I don't see that being something that you wear. Now, I know from watching Jersey Shore that DJ Pauly DeVecchio wears a gold chain out. And then he got drunk one night and he asked the situation, who is now sober, to take his chain. And then he was very thankful because he was so drunk he didn't want to lose his chain.
Okay. Well, that's,
so I know gold chains are de rigueur or whatever the term is, but I didn't know getting the ET symbol. That's got to weigh a little bit too. If that's solid gold?
Yeah, I believe it was solid gold.
No, it's got to be.
I guarantee he's not wearing diamond, like gold-plated or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't get it on the Home Shopping Network. I mean, this is something he had made. So I just don't know in 10 years if you're going to be wanting to rock that. That if gold chains will still be in effect. But they go through cycles. You know, LL used to wear them, and then it went into some other stuff, and now it's back.
Yeah, it's full on him, E.T. and Elliot on the bike going past the moon with the trees underneath it. Yeah, that is something.
That's impressive. Yeah, he's had it for a while.
It's not as big as I thought it was going to be, to be quite honest. It's like, you know.
He had it while he was here.
Yeah, that's just stupid. More than anything else. Yeah, it's not huge. Marquise Daniels had to have weighed, if you know the weight of gold, which I've only know the weight of gold in small. Even like my grandfather, my stepfather's a pinky ring, which he tended to rock until recently. That was a gold thing. You put it in your hand, a little weight to it.
I think it's diamond encrusted too.
Ah, well, there
you
go.
So how could you ever leave the house not be freaked out.
Because they don't even, you'd have to melt the whole situation down, and what happens to the diamonds? It seems like a lot of work.
Right, how do you resell that?
Plus, you know that someone who gets one of those, that's their prized possession, and if you ever go after it, you're as good as dead in terms of the person who had it.
Sure.
I just remember when Kevin Durant walked around with a Bible in his backpack. Like he had to. Like, that he always...
Part of the whole look with the plaid shirt and the glasses.
No,
and
but the idea that he always had to be carrying the Bible, which I found to be... Oh, all right. Like, your thing now is that it's always got to be on your person?
Well, I mean, but then again, you know, you could have had a diamond-encrusted head hanging around your neck. And, you know, the one thing about that is, who's going to steal from a guy who has a tattoo of a man blowing his head off with a shotgun?
I don't know. Maybe Kevin Durant will get a big... full-size, full-length Gideon Bible. Golden crust is around his neck. Hey, I like God a lot. I'm proving it. Or he'll just get the Ten Commandments.
Sure.
like a slab.
I Googled Marquis Daniels' headpiece, and there's this pretty funny article. It was the 25 dumbest athlete purchases of all time. And for some reason, number 23 on there is Shaquille O'Neal's totally normal house. And it says, when you're a professional athlete, you can make level-headed decisions that involve reasonably priced single-family homes and four-door sedans. Despite being worth close to $250 million, O'Neal purchases a modest Florida homestead that doesn't even have a killer whale aquarium, 24-karat gold toilet, and it costs $235,000. It's like this tiny little home.
Oh, Jesus. he fits in it.
How do you even fit in there?
Because he did a Cribs.
Just going to mention that. I saw that episode.
Yeah, he had a really huge house in Orlando when he was a rookie. House.
Oh, God.
When I went to Rollins. But he had a bed that was like, you know, they show like back in the day, those corny hotels, like where it was like the love suite.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
he had a big like red velvet bed. That because for him it was like gigantic. That's why they had to make it that way.
The best was they went into his office and he has like a big desk there.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think about, all right, how often do you sit at what business do you conduct while sitting at this desk?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, there's no reason for you to have a desk.
No.
Well, anywhere
that's like Carmelo Anthony, who had a boardroom in his house with a Scarface poster. Okay. Like, this guy means business.
Yeah, okay. Been right. There maybe once.
All right, Rich. We have what happened last night. What are we going
to
talk about?
Oh, the words that none of us wanted to hear come out of Alex Cora's mouth did indeed yesterday, and we've got some updates to the injury list for the New England Patriots.
Be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Patriots tickets coming up at 7:30 and 9:30. Machimelli Cribs coming up at 7:35.
Mm-hmm. What happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos! Participation may vary. So as the Red Sox get ready for the ALCS, Alex Cora had a few decisions to make regarding his pitching rotation, and yesterday he unfortunately said the words that we have all been dreading.
Probably not going to tell me, but I'm not doing my job if I don't ask it. I'm assuming Sale game one. Have you made a decision
about game two?
Who's game two? I'm sorry?
David game two. He'll pitch.
David's going to pitch game two. So Price will go game two. Okay, very good. That's what I was looking to get.
Yeah, that's unmistakably Mad Dog, right? Mad Dog Russo?
That's correct.
Yes. All right. Man who's made a lot of money.
Yes, it is. Egads.
Rollins college graduate.
Is he really? Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, despite the fact that David Price absolutely vomited on his shoes in game two, he has done every postseason, as he has done every postseason start he's ever pitched, game two is his to mess up on Sunday night. The one bit of good news is that if you're indeed looking for something to keep you from ramming your head into a wall, is that David Price did have some success in his two starts against the Astros in the regular season, going 1-0 while allowing 5 earned runs over 12 and one-third innings of work. He made 2 appearances out of the bullpen against Houston last postseason, as we know, and he threw 6 2/3 innings of shutout ball during that time. Also, if you remember, he shut out the Astros. He shut them down for 4 innings to help Boston win game 3, which is the only victory that they had during that series.
And they had no choice. I mean, they had to start him with a 4-man rotation. I'd rather have him start in game 2 and then pitch again at home.
Well, it's not the worst because you have a day off between game 2 and game 3. So if you do exhaust your bullpen, at least there's one extra day of rest in order to help them recover. Yeah, I mean, if you had to have it happen, it's good that you did it on a before an off day.
Sure. I mean, I don't think they want to do it, but yes, that makes it better. I will tell you this, is that I was combing through the scouting reports. Don't like Kimbrel in this one either. Kimbrel has struggled against this team.
Yeah, a lot of pitchers for the Red Sox have struggled against this team.
But Price hasn't. And because so if who are you focusing on as two important guys that are pitching that you would, two pitchers that are really important to this series?
Well, Sale is one and Kimbrel's the other.
No, but who you're concerned about?
Oh, I'm concerned about
Price and Kimbrel.
Price and Kimbrel are the two. Yeah.
So if you look at Price and you believe in statistics and you believe in, you know, past performances, Price is not as much of a warning flag as Kimbrel is against this team.
I do not trust David Price against anybody, regardless of what the statistics tell me. And five runs in 12 innings doesn't exactly exude confidence.
And Fred, what I would say is that I don't think Price's problem is a team problem. It's a postseason problem, which I think supersedes how well he did.
Well, Kimbrel pitched like crap against the Yankees, and people say that he has a mental block against the Yankees, and fine, I believe that. But he also does not pitch well against Houston. So I would be as concerned about Kimbrel as I would be about David Price, because they are of equal importance, if not Kimbrel being more important.
Of course. I mean, if you do get the lead on this team, you need to be sure that the guy you have out there can close things down. But you got to get the ball to him. That's the other part of it. I mean, you got to figure out a way to get it to him. And I don't know if they can. I mean, I don't know if you have a David Price there, regardless of how many relievers you throw at it. I don't know if David Price against Houston, regardless of where he pitches, is going to be good enough.
Do you see a situation where if David Price absolutely bombs again, where Nathan Eovaldi comes in and pitches a possibly an inning in game two?
No. No. I think they'll have somebody else do it.
Well, you know,
because Eovaldi pitched so well against the Yankees, you want him for game three on the road.
Yeah, he's going to play. He's going to pitch.
Well, sure, he's going to pitch game three, but if you need him.
I don't think you have, and that's the Porcello role. I don't think Porcello pitched game one. They put him off until game four. I mean, I don't think Cora will bring him back on one day rest, regardless of how many innings he throws in game two.
No, that's not going to happen. So, no. All right. But you were talking about Barnes and Cora and everyone's not having faith in him. When he got brought in, I looked back at it. He faced a 2-3-4 hitter.
No, he faced the middle of the order in the sixth inning. But, you know, there have been so many people over the years, and Theo Epstein was one of them. Theo Epstein in 2003 was like, you know what? We're going to do bullpen by committee. You know, it doesn't matter. The most important outs in the game might be in the sixth inning. It might be in the seventh inning. It might be in the eighth inning. You, in that situation, you had a three-run lead or a four-run lead, a three-run lead in the sixth inning. And, yeah, he went through 2-3-4 and got them out. But I still contend, regardless of when you face the middle of that order, pitching in the sixth inning is vastly different than pitching in the eighth inning. I think, regardless of who the guys were coming up in the sixth inning, that was Barnes' inning. Because you want him as non-stressed as possible. And if you look at his numbers over the last 6 weeks or 2 months of the season, August was an epic disaster for him. And then he was hurt for a while and had one real horrible outing in September. You know, he was more good than bad in September. But I contend it doesn't matter who the hitters were in the sixth inning.
But do you think if Cora didn't believe in him, he would have put him in against the middle of the order?
I think Cora put him in a situation where he could afford to fail because there were a lot of people up. There were a lot of people he could have gone to after him. If you have Barnes and a lot more margin for error, if Barnes comes in and gives up a couple of home runs and it's 4-3 in the sixth inning as opposed to 4-3 in the eighth inning, you know, you have less of a tightrope to walk. You have other guys you can go to. You can go to Brazier. You can go to Kimbrel early to get you five or six outs in that situation. Right. Although not optimal.
No, Kimbrel.
It's a desperation situation.
Kimbrel not a great
Or you can go to Sale early. Or have Sale pitch the seventh and piece it together from there. There are other options available to you. I honestly, because if Barnes comes in and coughs things up in the eighth inning, you more than likely used all the relievers before him. So it... honestly, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters who the hitters were in the sixth inning for him.
All right, showed a little bit of faith.
Not in this guy. Not in this
all
guy.
Right. You just hate him. Okay.
Okay. Well, the good news is that for all of us, the people watching the games, we got a nice little gift when they announced the full schedule for the ALCS. As we know, game one is this Saturday. It's at 8:09 here at Fenway. Game two, 7:09, going up against that Patriots game. But game three, the one in Houston on Tuesday, how about a nice 5 o'clock start?
Oh, sweet.
Awesome.
Oh, boy.
5:09 p.m. is when that sucker gets a first pitch. How about that? Game four goes back to an 8:30 start, and game five, an 8 o'clock start. But we get a nice little gift on Saturday as well for if there is indeed a game six when it's back here at Fenway Park, 5:09 for the first pitch. And then if there is indeed a game seven, we go to 7:39. So 2 5 o'clock games thrown in there.
And a couple of sevens in there, too.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
You got the Dodgers, and you know they got to put it on when they got to put it on.
Wednesday night's the ball breaker. That's an 8:40 first pitch. All right, that's going to suck.
I'm not going to see the end of that game. All right, so, by the way, speaking of ratings, we were talking about it. Well, who would outperform who? Game three, now this was national. Game three of the Red Sox-Yankees went up against Monday Night Football.
And by the way, it doesn't need to be said, but Red Sox-Yankees is a baseball programmer's wet dream. I mean, yes. This is like, it doesn't get bigger than Red Sox-Yankees.
But it was also a rout, but here we go. The baseball game nationally had 4.41 million viewers. The Monday night game, 10.6 million viewers, which was also a blowout.
Well, but they all wanted to see Drew Brees break that epic record
so they
could stop the game and give him a laminated certificate.
Yeah, for the easiest record in the world to break. A record that is going to be broken.
How many times in the next 5 years?
Well,
at least
Stafford's
going to
break it.
Rodgers has a chance at it.
You got Ryan. Where's Matt Ryan and all that?
Where's Ryan Tannehill? Is he on the list somewhere?
No, he's missed a season.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what's holding him back.
That's what's holding him back. No, Stafford has never missed a game. And so Stafford is up there. He's thrown because.
Where's Brady?
I don't know. I don't think he's any threat to get it.
Brady? Hang on a second. No, Stafford's
next. Yeah.
Passing yardage, career. Okay, Breeze is number one. Let's see now. Roethlisberger, 52,000, 53,000 yards. You know, if he stays healthy, maybe he's got a shot at it. He's the next active guy in line, by the way. He's seventh overall.
Okay.
And then Matt Ryan, about 43,000 career yards. Rodgers, Flacco's not going to get it. But Stafford, around 36,000. He's halfway to Breeze right now.
All right. So
those are the guys. Roethlisberger, probably not, because he'll get hurt and retire before he gets there.
And I believe Stafford's like 29.
But yeah, Stafford's 26th. Rodgers is 20th. Matt Ryan is 15th. So all three of those guys could do it.
So maybe it goes Matt Ryan, Stafford. So there you go. All right. We will be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
A New England Patriot on our airwaves accidentally talks a little trash about a team they're not even playing this week.
Oh, boy. All right. Remember, be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for a chance at tickets to see the Patriots and Chiefs. And know that Mark Jamelli Cribs, everyone's favorite Mark Jamelli, people who like Mark Jamelli more than Nick, will be very excited. And Danny Ainge joining us at 9 o'clock. Tutcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub with Tutcher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to Sunday night's game, Patriots Chiefs, at 7:30 and 9:30 this morning.
Well, the good news is if that David Price once again implodes early in the game, well, at least that means more time for you to watch the Patriots Chiefs game, who are going head-to-head against the Red Sox on Sunday. Yesterday, Bill Belichick was asked all sorts of questions about the upcoming game against the Chiefs, and, of course, he spilled the beans.
Does it feel like you're playing for the top seed in the AFC with this game, that the stakes are that?
I feel like we're playing Kansas City.
Does it seem like a higher-stakes game than
both? Feels like we're playing Kansas City.
Yeah, well.
Now go home and get your shine box.
But in fairness, when he was pressed on the issue, Belichick finally opened up to the press and told him.
Well, yesterday's practice, were you able to jump straight into game plan, or was maybe the focus more internal in terms of how you spent time in the field yesterday?
Yeah. We're working on Kansas City.
Okay, all right. Well, that's...
Go home and get your shine box.
If you let any more information out, Andy Reid would just be sitting there with a pad and a pen taking copious notes saying... but we do know they ran Hills yesterday, which is nice to know the team still do.
Yeah, they ran Hills. It was a fully padded practice, as a matter of fact, which seems like a rarity. It's like a unicorn nowadays. So either way, the Patriots injury report did see a notable addition, as Sony Michel was listed as having a knee issue. Also on the list as limited were Malcolm Brown with his knee, Josh Gordon with the hamstring, Rob Gronkowski ankle, Chris Hogan thigh, Eric Rowe groin, and Danny Shelton with elbow issues.
At least half of those guys were like, I'm not running Hills.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, this is the day I'm limited.
Yeah. You know what? I'm feeling something in my, okay, groin. Let's go with that one.
Yeah, it was hot yesterday, too. Yeah. Don't want to run Hills.
Sure was. And many people have been calling this a matchup involving the two best tight ends in the game. And to that, Michael Humanawanui said, hey, I'm not dead yet. But here's Gronk on Mr. Kelce and what he thinks of his skills.
I'll be the bad one. Jason Witten on Monday Night Football a week ago said that Kelce is the best tight end in the league, and Mahomes said it today. Just any response to that? Interestingly, you guys are the same age, but you played both born in 89, but you've played four more seasons.
I didn't even know we were the same age. That's pretty nuts, actually. You know, I just try to be the best I can be every single week, do my job every single week, and the rankings and all that, and comparisons, all that, I'll just leave that up to you guys. He's quick, he's shifty, which is very crucial to having. He knows how to get separation and get away from the defender, so he's a great player.
You see, I'm with Gronk. I thought that Kelce was a lot younger than Rob Gronkowski, and I was talking to Mike this morning, and I guess that Gronk got into the league 4 years before Travis Kelce did, which sounds incredible, but that's what he said. I always thought that Kelce was like 25, 26, but they're both 29 years old, which is strange.
Why did it take him 4 years to get in the league?
I don't know. Mike told me that this morning. It's something I didn't know, but I'll have to take a look. But yesterday during Zolak and Bertrand's show,
played baseball. What the hell? Tell me how Kelce, why it took him so long to get in the league.
I don't know.
Their specs?
Not sure. Yeah, come on, stats. You got the glasses.
I'm working on it as we speak.
All right, come on now.
Stats Magoo over there is finding out all the answers to the universe. Zolak and Bertrand had Stephon Gilmore on the show, and the guys asked him about why he doesn't run his mouth like players such as Jalen Ramsey does. His answer was a nice little under-the-radar diss towards Jalen.
Yeah, what's your reaction when you see other corners that do that, like Ramsey? And I know there's others in the league that sort of talk the trash before
the game.
Yeah,
it's like a part of the position.
Is even playing.
They're allowed to.
I know that's not your style, so I'm curious to know what someone like you would think about that.
I mean, it's his personality, you know. It's not my style, but I feel like a lot of guys that talk is mostly zone guys, so they got a lot of energy to do that.
Mostly zone guys, he said?
Yeah.
Isn't zone guy kind of like saying you're not number one?
When Norman was getting into it with the wide receiver from New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
He was, the wide receiver from New Orleans was saying how
you're a zone
was,
guy.
You're a zone guy. So that has been come to the new
ultimate insult for corners.
That is the Don Rickles of the NFL. Now you call him a zone guy.
You got an answer yet there, Stats?
He was suspended for a year and redshirted for a year at Cincinnati, so that might have pushed him back a little bit.
That pushed him back 2 years.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
And or did he play his senior year?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
According
well, that
to
explains.
This.
Okay, well,
He actually, and that's the other thing. He played an extra year more than Gronk did.
All right, so that's 3 years.
That's three.
Yeah. So that solves everything.
You're in Kansas City.
Yes.
Okay. So, there you go. Then there's your answer. Thank you very much, Stats. And
thank you.
So from everything I'm reading, this weekend's game is the highest over-under total of the season. Doesn't say a lot about the defenses. That's the one thing, is a Kansas City defense is awful. Well, we'll get more on the spreads and where to put your cash with the bankroll boys coming up at 7 a.m.
What's the phrase? It's fade the public, right?
I don't know what anything
fade
means.
The public after, because Patriots are 3.5-point favorites and the over-under is high, and you'd think, okay, you know, take Kansas City against the spread and pound the over, but I'm sure the guys are going to come in here and tell me why I'm wrong.
That's a square bet.
That's a square bet. Okay.
You got to fade it.
I understand, sort of.
And then if you're Joe Murray, you just do a million dabs, which is the new...
Dabs or what? What are dabs?
They're very concentrated.
THC?
Yeah, very, You knew? How'd you know that?
Because I've read up on this. I'm an investor.
All right. Did you watch any of the guy that I sent you yesterday?
No, but Mike did. Mike did. Yeah. Mike got to watch something.
I'm obsessed with him. I don't care if any. Don't you don't watch him?
Okay.
His name is. I will tell you his name right now. And my friend
said like Bloodshot Magoo.
hey, he's very popular. He was a juggalo that got arrested and went to jail for beating the guy up, and now.
So he's like the ninja of pot smoking videos.
Yes, he's Custom Grow 420. Okay. And I bet you there's at least a tenth of our audience who knows who Custom Grow 420 is. And the man did 25 dabs in a row, which I'm very surprised you knew because I didn't know what they were yesterday.
Yeah, as I said, I'm an investor.
Oh, that's right. You do invest. In dabs?
No, not in dabs. But in reading about all of these different companies, you kind of go down rabbit holes and you see stuff like this.
Yeah, so you burn like this piece of metal that's connected to this pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the dab on the piece of metal and it burns into the pipe. And it's an exceptionally strong form of marijuana. And he did 25 in a row.
Okay, so just one is usually enough to, you know.
It's an intense, apparently, okay. According to Custom Grow 420. It's a very intense head buzz right away. And he sounds like he's going to die.
Okay.
He just does them, and he sounds like he's going to die. But at the end, like, he says the same thing at the end of every show. And he's like, has to keep wiping his face because he's sweating so much and coughing so much. But he never makes a mistake. And he doesn't edit his videos at all.
It's just like, God, it's like way too long.
It's like Jackass with weed. Like he's based in Colorado and he just does these magnificent feats with weed. And he's got 1,000 different pipes and ways to consume marijuana.
Just legalize it everywhere. It's amazing. All that. How many articles have you read just in like the Boston Globe where it's like, it's almost here. Just one more hoop. Hey, almost here. Oh, yeah, but there's this other thing we have to do. I read an oral history. It was in, I think, the Washington Post. There were these three beer companies that it took them over a year and a half after stuff was legalized for them to figure out a way to legally make a beer that was like a marijuana type of, like it had like a marijuana flavor to it, like a hemp beer.
Okay.
And like the amount of legal loopholes they had to jump through in order to make something that is legal where their beer was being distributed and produced was absolutely astounding. Now, I know everyone wants their finger in the pie and everyone wants like a little piece of the money that's going to be made out of all this, but I just don't understand why at some point we just think it's going to be huge for everyone involved.
So this company, is it a major company that's delving into marijuana or is it a grassroots company?
No, but I do know that like the Corona, the company that owns Corona, that like they are like all in on
yeah, that's meat. What scares me is that it's going to get to a point where just corporations are just doing it themselves. And it's not like it's not like a niche thing that I would have to buy. Dan, go ahead.
So I just wanted to get on that Custom 420 train because I don't smoke, maybe very rarely, but it's like, if I want to go down the rabbit hole of YouTube, like that's a guy to go.
Well, you called it, Fred. You said our listeners would instantly know this. What's his name?
Yeah. His name is I
420 Bob or
Custom Grow 420.
Okay, all right.
Because my friend sent me this video that's this like kid doing a mumble rap.
Yeah,
that's just awful. And he's like obviously under 18, and I didn't want to play it. Sure. But it's him just smoking blunts the whole time. It's awful. It's got like 40,000 views on YouTube and like 7,000 thumbs down. and he says the N-word and I'm like, eh.
All right.
And so, but then I fell down the rabbit hole and my friend kept texting me different things about Custom Grow 420 and that he was a juggalo who assaulted a guy in a park when he was 22. He did some time. He's got a wife and three kids. I went, yeah, I spent some time with Custom Grow 420 yesterday. All right, Rich, what do we got coming up?
Well, the Jimmy Butler situation has just become absurd, and we will get into all the details and the suspiciously quick interview that he made after it was all done and over with.
All right, be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots-Chiefs this Sunday night.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Yesterday, we just got more evidence that the NBA offseason is just the best. So Jimmy Butler has been bitching and moaning for the last several weeks about wanting to get traded from Minnesota. And there's been all sorts of rumors that there have been offers, I think, from Miami, but it wasn't enough. And then there was an offer from Houston that wasn't enough. And Tom Thibodeau is basically sitting there saying, I'm going to sit here, collect stamps, and keep Jimmy Butler on this roster. So yesterday, for the first time in 3 weeks, I guess since, I mean, for the first time of the season, he's been holding out for 3 weeks.
First time since he officially asked for a trade.
He shows up at a practice where Minnesota was doing a scrimmage, and he showed up late. And when he got there, he subbed himself into a scrimmage on the third team to go against the starters. Now, throughout the practice, apparently, or according to reports, Jimmy Butler verbally bashed Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Tom Thibodeau, the general manager, screaming at the top of his lungs. Butler uttered taunts at his teammates like, they ain't blank and they soft. Most of the players knew that all these things were directed towards Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Butler naturally wasn't in the best of shape, but he held his own, according to people who were there. And they said at one point, Butler found himself guarding Towns in the post. After Towns received the entry pass, Butler yelled, he can't do blank against me. Towns panicked and ended up passing the ball out. Oh. So neither Towns nor Wiggins really confronted Butler at any point, according to the sources. Some players apparently were motivated by what Butler was doing, but others were speechless and distraught, most notably Karl Anthony Towns. So when practice was over, Butler stormed out of the facility, skipped stretching with the rest of his teammates. And apparently, now Butler, I guess, did do a hand dap before with Wiggins on the way out.
Okay.
But then Karl Anthony Towns apparently gathered the players in a huddle and gave them this like big speech about centered on everyone keeping their emotions in check. But I guess according to the players, the message felt empty and they all kind of rolled their eyes. So as the GM was watching on the sidelines during the scrimmage, Butler apparently yelled to him, you effing need me, Scott. You can't win without me. So afterwards,
but it's a funny thing to say to a guy who you want to trade you.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't get that either. I saw that quote and I'm like, why are you saying that?
It also is very big incentive to trade for him that he's a guy who wants to go in and
shoot his way out of town.
And no, yeah, and just go in and just start crapping on people who could actually be his teammates for at least part of the season.
It's fairly stable. A guy who's really seemed to have his head in the right place.
Yeah.
So as I heard that story and it was leaking out, I'm like, okay, this is really funny. And, you know, Jimmy Butler's losing his mind. And then 30 minutes later, I start to see clips come rolling out of Jimmy Butler talking about the incident with Rachel Nichols.
Kind of odd on how ESPN. She just happened to be there to talk to him.
Live. So yeah. Rachel Nichols getting called out for many people thinking that she was in on some sort of conspiracy, you know, yes. That this was all staged.
Yes.
Rachel Nichols defended herself and she goes, no, you have to understand, late last night, I got a message from Jimmy Butler saying he was ready to talk. So first thing in the morning, I flew out, and that's when Jimmy Butler knew it was time to pull this stunt in front of everyone. Well, here is Jimmy Butler sitting down with Rachel Nichols, who asked about the incident.
You returned to practice for the first time with the Wolves, and I'm just gonna read a little bit of Adrian Wojnarowski's report on what happened there, that you were loud, emotional, passionate, we like to say, targeting Coach Tom Thibodeau, teammates like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, that you told GM Scott Layton, quote, you effing need me. How would you describe what happened today?
A lot of it's true. A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate in I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete.
You love it. You haven't played.
And go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No. But I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me. Me at my finest, me at my purest. That's what you're going to get inside the lines.
The best thing about all this is that Thibodeau like will not budge, but the GM wants him out. So the two of them
owner
are like
wants, owner realizes they have to trade him. I mean, this is a horrible situation for Minnesota to be in.
Oh, and all these teams like Miami and Houston, they're like, we're not getting you anything. You're asking for all these like major pieces and picks and stuff. Dude, he wants out. You're screwed.
Keep him.
Yeah, good
keep
luck.
Him.
Have fun.
And so they asked him, they said...
He's a very big team. He's so passionate that he hasn't played basketball in so long.
I know, it's like...
He just loves not playing basketball because it's his passion.
Oh, the NBA offseason's the best. And so here he is being asked about, hey, can things get patched up between you and the Timberwolves?
So you were back in practice today. I assume you're going back tomorrow.
I am.
Should people think, because you are back in practice, that this is fixed or it's on its way to being fixed?
I think people think that. I would think that, too.
What do you think?
It's not. It's not fixed. Let's just be honest. It's not fixed.
Is it fixable?
It could be. But do I think so? No.
It could be.
How do you fix that? I'm curious. That's going to be the next question. Yeah, what does Minnesota have to do to fix things,
do whatever
short of
he wants.
Trading you?
Trade him to wherever he wants to
trade
go.
Trade him to Phoenix. I mean, you want to
put him
play?
In Siberia?
Go there.
Yeah.
Go to Phoenix.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, if you really want to get this guy. And you
Fine.
Know what?
They got a new management team in there. You know what? There's your card-carrying star. Have fun with him. He's an expiring contract. Give us a first-round pick. We're done.
Yeah.
Fine.
You don't give up a first-round pick
I wouldn't give
that.
Up a first-round pick. Well, I mean, that's, that high.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be. I mean, I don't know how many first-round picks Phoenix has. I'm sure they have multiple in some year. But all I'm saying is this is a situation where you it's punitive damages on the player. I look for
you think Ainge
a
is on
team
the phone
that
says,
is awful.
We'll give you Daniel Tice.
Yeah. No, I will find a horrible team and send him there.
Ever heard of Semi Ojeleye?
Yeah.
Okay, there will be no commercials, just the headlines, then we will get to the Bankroll Boys. But remember, be listening at 7:30, 9:30 this morning for your chance to get Patriots-Chiefs tickets for this Sunday night's game.